Welcome, everyone, to the Apocalary Podcast. I'm Steve. He is
Reverend Dr. Lawrence Van Beek.
Yes, he is, folks.
I think we're really going to nail it tonight, so I can give my credentials at the front. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. You're out of the park. Just completely out of the park. Yeah. Ah, well, folks, you can't see Larry, but it is good to see you, my friend. What are we going to talk about today, Larry?
So it's a little bit after the fact, but since it's the most important event in history, I thought we'd talk about the resurrection, Steve.
There's nothing wrong with that at all.
I think it's fine. Well, the reason is we did the Good Friday last week, so we did the Passion, but so that left us with no room to do Easter.
Okay.
So, by the way, I have no idea what Easter Monday is all about.
No, me either.
I've never thought to look it up. It's in my mind that was Easter Monday was the resurrection day, but it's not. It's Sunday.
Yeah.
Was resurrection day. So anyway, that's not the biggest deal. I think the easiest thing, I like to do it from John. And as you know, the four Gospels have different accounts of mm-hmm. everything that goes on throughout Jesus' life and in this last week. But I like the way John handles Resurrection Sunday.
Okay. Well, why don't I dive in and start reading then?
Yeah, read down to 10.
Okay, folks, this is John 20, starting at verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying.
Yeah. So... if you know John Francesco's song, you know, they both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. They found the stone in the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. I thought I'd give you enough. I really feel the singing career taking off.
Yeah. Well, it was good. I don't know the song, so this is fantastic.
Oh, great song. Obviously just about this, you know. And then he's alive. He finally comes to belief. But remember, John is the gospel of belief. And all of this stuff is them coming to a place of belief. We have talked about that in earlier editions of our show. But so anyway, so on the first day, so Mary Magdalene's there and she sees that Jesus is gone and she goes and gets Peter and John and they run out to the grave. Mm-hmm. So they're not that far away, I guess. And I love that John says they both ran toward the garden and then John reached the tomb first.
Yeah.
And it's always that little thing, right? The young guys. it's one of those things that make you think these aren't old men. These are young guys.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to say, in his gospel, he wants to say, "I just want you to know I outran the big guy."
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's
right. That would be like me getting there before you, Steve, and saying, you know, you may run marathons, but I beat you to the tomb. So, and I'm going to probably beat you to the tomb, but in a different way. So anyway, then they look inside and Jesus is gone. I think one of the versions I read talks about the cloth actually being folded.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And I thought that it reminded me of all the Revelation movies that you watch. Whenever people are raptured, their clothes are lying and neatly folded off to the side.
That's right. Yeah.
That and because Jesus supports mothers who tell their kids to clean their room and fold their clothes. There's that going on. Anyway, he's not there. He's not there. The one disciple, it does say he saw and he believed. But notice this. They said they did not understand from the scripture that Jesus was to rise from the dead.
Interesting.
And that's really important, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that seems very important.
Yeah. And it's important. It'll get more important as we go along. So go ahead and read the next section.
Okay, folks, starting at verse 11 now. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I do not know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned to him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." Now Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing I like about this, Steve, is the first person that Jesus shows himself to be alive to is Mary. Yeah. Remember, Mary was the one he delivered the demons from. Was it seven?
I believe so. Yeah.
Sounds like the right number.
Yeah.
You would think it would be six, but that's okay. So he delivered a bunch of demons out of her from her. And she had followed him for 3 years. And if you ever watch The Chosen, you know, she has times of doubt and Jesus kind of brings her back in. But I like that it's Mary that sees him. So so the angels talk to Mary, but when she looks, she sees someone there and she thinks it's a gardener.
Mm.
And this is kind of interesting because she's looking at Jesus, right?
Yeah.
She's looking at the resurrected Jesus and she does not recognize him.
Yes. Yeah.
And we don't really know why that is. But do you remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus?
Yes.
So yeah, just a little bit later on, Jesus is walking with two of the disciples, unnamed disciples, and they're talking and they're shooting the breeze, but they don't know who it is. And then finally Jesus kind of reveals himself to them.
Yeah.
And then they know it's Jesus.
Yeah.
Which is really weird. And it makes you wonder about the resurrection body. Now, it's possible they didn't recognize him because, like I said in the just a little bit before, they did not realize that Jesus was to rise from the dead.
Okay.
Right? And so they had no expectation that he was going to rise from the dead. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The last time they saw him, those that did see him saw him on a cross, and he had been whipped. So you remember with the cat of nine tails with the pieces of bone and it takes out chunks of flesh, and he had been beaten around the face. He had the crown of thorns. So there's blood all over his face. He would be unrecognizable on the cross.
Right.
And that was, if they saw him there, that was the last image they saw. They totally did not expect him to rise from the dead.
Yeah.
And it's a weird thing because the council, they chose they went to the Romans and said, "Hey, you better place a guard here." Remember the last time I said the guard was a couple of Jewish guys? I don't know why I said that. Of course they were Romans. Yeah.
All good.
And it appears they might have got paid off to afterward. They should have been killed for leaving their post, but they got paid off to keep quiet, according to the stories you hear. But those guys were afraid Jesus would rise from the dead. His own disciples had no idea that he was going to rise from the dead, even though he told them.
They always kind of explicitly.
Yeah, it was a little bit cryptic. So they were not expecting him. So maybe that's why they didn't recognize him.
Right.
Maybe the resurrected body just looks different.
Yeah.
And that's the other piece we just don't know, right? Somebody said to me in one of the sermons I heard, he said, well, do we look different in the resurrected body? Of course not. We all recognize each other. We can't look different. But I just don't know exactly what we look like.
Right.
So anyway, so Jesus reveals himself to her, and then she clings to him, and he says, don't hang on to me so tight. I've got to go and be with my Father. I've got to ascend to be with God. And some people think that's the ascension 40 days later, but I'm pretty sure Jesus went to be with God right away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because remember, he was with them 40 days, and we don't know what he was doing when he wasn't with them, sneaking right. around. I don't know.
Right.
So, and we talked about the resurrected body being different because a little bit later on here, he appears before the disciples. And it says the doors are locked and he appears in the room. And it seems that he could just walk through walls. Mm-hmm. But we don't know. All that we know for sure is that he appeared in the room.
Yeah.
But the resurrected body is something different. Now, if we go over to 1 Corinthians 15. And if you go down a little bit to through number 12, I think is probably a good place to read. But this is the importance. He says, but if it is preached, so this whole chapter is about the resurrection.
Yeah.
Okay. And Paul says to the Corinthians, if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can you some of you say there is no resurrection? If there's no resurrection, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith.
Yeah.
More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses of God. We have testified about God. Oh, why am I reading it?
I didn't know, and I just let it go.
Could you now explain that to us? Okay, pick it up. Okay, I'm going to finish reading now.
I got it at 15. More than that, we then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, for we are all, sorry, it is such a hard sentence to get out right now. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied.
Yeah. Yeah. And Paul speaks about the critical nature of the resurrection.
Mm.
I mean, Christ's death on the cross was for our sins. Christ's resurrection shows us what we are going to be.
Yeah.
And what is waiting for us. And if this is not possible, then this whole thing is worthless. And that's why I go back to that other passage again and say they did not expect Jesus to rise from the dead.
Yeah.
They had no expectation of this. And people had different ideas. Remember Mary saw the gardener and she said, you know, can you tell me where they've taken him? Well, people have ideas of what actually happened to Jesus. If you don't believe that he rose from the dead. And one guy, the guy they know mostly, he wrote a book called The Passover Plot. And his name was Schoenfeld, H.J. Schoenfeld. And he was a New Testament scholar, they say. And I think Schoenfeld shows us that you can be a New Testament scholar and not be a Christian at all.
Mm-hmm.
And people would say, oh, how can you say he's not a Christian? Well, when you read the junk he writes, you think, like, I can't believe a New Testament scholar could say the stuff he says.
Right.
You know, for me, it's too first grade. So what he says then, he says Jesus was an innocent pretender. He contrived with Lazarus and Joseph of Arimathea. Like, where does he get Lazarus in this mix? Lazarus, like, why am I a part of this whole thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. But he contrived with the two of them to feign his death. But it all went awry when the soldier when the soldier shoved a spear in his side. Yeah. And he died, and he didn't intend to die. You know, he just thought he'd hang on the cross for a while, you know, but he didn't intend to die, but he died. And then the disciples saw someone else, mistook that person for Jesus, and the whole thing developed out of that. you know, moronic is a good word. We're not allowed to say that on this show.
But you really have some leaps of like, you really have to go through some common sense leaps or lack of common sense leaps to make that work, right?
Oh man, yeah. If you follow scripture at all, so if you don't care about the Bible, then you can do what you want. But if you're going to follow the Bible and use biblical stuff, then this doesn't work, right? None of this stuff works. And he, you know, he's not even taking into account that Jesus thought he'd hang on a cross. He's not taking into account the scourging, you know, the pain, the sitting, laying on a cross, you know, the crying out the day before not to go. Mm-hmm. You know, all of that, let alone his death that happened, right?
Right.
And then of course the whole resurrection is falsified afterwards. And there were other people that thought other things happened too. So there was the grave robber was one of the things. People said that people came and robbed the grave, right? Now there was a grave robber. You know, if you listen to Petra's song "Grave Robber," you'll know that.
There's a gooder. Yeah, there's a good song.
God was the grave robber, obviously.
Yeah, that's right.
God stole Jesus from the grave, and that works. And some say the disciples stole the body, right? And others say that dogs ate the body. Yeah. And at first, I thought, "Wow, that is nuts! Not more nuts than Schoenfeld's." but really crazy. But the way they explained it is they actually didn't take him down from the cross, and wild animals came and tore the body to pieces, and that's why the body was gone. Again, now people, biblical scholars prove all of these things, the weaknesses and the falsehoods in all of these things. And then the other one that you probably know is the toll of death Jesu, which is the gardener. And that's Mary talked to the gardener. Well, the idea was that the gardener stole the body and put it somewhere else so that it wouldn't be stolen. Move the body so that it wouldn't be desecrated.
I get you.
So it's actually a decent thing. But of course, there was a stone there. There was the Roman seal. There were Roman guards. There were so many things to stop that from happening.
Yeah.
And the other piece of it, of course, is that. Is that the disciples themselves didn't believe in this thing.
Yeah.
Like they didn't believe that he was going to rise from the dead. That's what John says. We didn't believe it. And we were as surprised as anybody.
Yeah.
More than most that he rose from the dead. And if you go down just a little bit further, and I don't know exactly where it is, but it talks about, there we go. Stop there. Read from verse 35, I think. Okay. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Read from verse 29. 29 is what I want to read, down to 33.
Okay, awesome. Verse 29, folks. Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them?
Well, I shouldn't have had you read that. I don't want to delve into baptism for the dead. Oh, well, carry on.
Pretend you didn't hear that. And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I face death every day. Yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus, our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Sounds like what the Klingons would say. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. That describes Larry and I. And you can decide which one's which. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God, and I say this to your shame.
And that was Paul again, right? Like, how important is this resurrection? Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And by the way, I missed that whole piece about the resurrection body where Paul even says, in verse 35 on about the body and about different kinds of bodies. So he's saying, you know, you plant something in the ground, you don't know what it's going to come out like. God knows. And it's different when it comes out than when it was planted.
Right, right.
And so we go in as corrupt. We're raised incorruptible, he says.
Yeah.
Right.
Which leads,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, which leads credence to the fact that why they didn't recognize him then maybe too, right? Because maybe he did have a new different body.
Well, that's the thing. Maybe he was different. And the one thing they said about Jesus, and I really like this, and you know, I don't know how important it is, but people say all of us are going to have perfect bodies, You know, some of us have, you know, less distance to go than others, but we're all going to have perfect bodies. But they said, Jesus will always bear the scars on his, in his hands and in his feet and side. Because remember when he had the resurrected body and he said to Thomas, you don't believe, then come and check.
Yeah.
And Thomas says, came up and he went, no, it's okay. I believe in you, Jesus.
Yeah.
And he says, well, blessed are those that didn't see any of this stuff and are going to believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he wasn't, I don't think he was being too hard on Thomas, but the idea that he has those scars for eternity is, it's kind of a cool thought in some ways, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the disciples, they come through and they don't believe anything at all. Like, and then Jesus comes back, right? There's all of these views, but Jesus comes back and then they believe, right? And then they believe. And is the resurrection real? And we mentioned this in the last one. I actually found it. Was Chuck Colson.
Right.
And I think this is probably the best thing I ever heard on the validity of the resurrection. Chuck Colson was, he was one of Nixon's aides. So Nixon was the president of the United States. I was going to say, he's a really important Christian, but unless you're like 60 years old, you don't even know who he is.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
But he was Nixon's aide when Nixon was president. And Nixon, now you can help me with this, Steve. Was Nixon the only president that's ever been impeached, or was there one in the past?
Well, technically both. Actually, no, I think there is one more.
But a long time ago, right? And yeah.
Yeah. I can't think of it, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, anyway, so Nixon was a president in the 1970s, and Chuck Colson and other guys, they were his aides, and they Nixon was impeached, so he lost the presidency because of a thing they called Watergate, where they had tapped phones and done other illegal things to get information, and the American people couldn't handle that, and they impeached him. And Chuck Colson was one of the 12 men that worked with Nixon. Interesting that they had 12.
Yeah.
That worked with Nixon. And this is what Chuck Colson says. He says, I know the resurrection is a fact. How? Because 12 men testified they had seen Jesus raised from the dead. They proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Every one of them was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep alive for 3 weeks. Are you telling me that 12 apostles could keep alive for 40 years? Absolutely impossible.
Yeah.
And I love that. And if they didn't believe in the resurrection, they didn't even think he was coming again. And they all gave their lives for that belief.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The resurrection is real. And thank God for the resurrection. Thank God that Jesus died for us and that he rose again. And thank God that we are allowed to serve him on this planet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautifully put, buddy. Folks, thank you so much for being a part of this today. The resurrection is the core belief we have. Without it, what faith do we have? Like Larry said, thank you so much for joining us. We might be taking a little break. I'm not sure. It depends what our schedules look like next week, but we'll see. So we might be taking a little break. And if so, it'd be a week or two, you know, somewhere around there. Cause there's some, until Larry gets home, and then we'll figure it out from there. but we're sure glad you joined us for this episode. And until then, I was Steve, he was Larry, and this was the Apocalypse Podcast.